I'm not just the Gaijin, I'm the Gaijin. In 2008, Team Orange, together with V1GP, creates the first opportunity for a non-Japanese driver to get in V1GP. Because up to then, there was only Japanese drivers. I win the World Drift Summit Conference competition. And I didn't know, because they did not tell us until after the competition, that they did all this to release a D1GP license.
So you got your license at the end of it?
Yes.
So you're the first non-Japanese to have one?
Yes.
Of that 16-car field, you were the only non-Japanese?
For 2 years, I was the only non-Japanese in the paddock between everyone. Drivers, mechanics, team owners, organizers.
Our guest of the hour, Frederico Sharifo. Eat Sleep Race podcast, recording live here at the PRI podcast studio with our guest of the hour, Frederico Sharifo, professional Formula D, or let me say professional drifter.
Probably, yeah, professional right. drifter
That's
from
right.
20 plus years. And thank you for having me, guys.
No, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And my co-host today, Nick Nav. And I'm going to get it started off with giving everyone a background who Frederico is. He is a multiple-time drifting international champion, a student of the drifting legends Team Orange.
Correct.
Taught at Ebisu Circuit.
Correct.
And personally taught by the legend himself, Kumakubo-san.
Yes, correct.
So I want to get into that. Like,
you,
some crazy
you
went that
way. Right. usually, you know, they think I just appeared from nowhere in 2018 with a Ferrari. And
no,
it's frustrating.
That's not right.
No, it's not right at all. Thank you, man.
We're going to let them know that you just didn't show up in your 599 out of nowhere, that you actually Please. Started off. I have a little roster of what I believe you started with, but you fill in the gaps in between. You were originally, well, you have an 86 still in your fleet today.
I do. I have two. Yeah.
See, there you go. You're filling me in already. You also professionally drifted a Lexus and Subaru.
Yes.
Subaru, I think, was the first car.
So the Subaru in 2005 in Italy and in Europe, that was my first drift car, a GDB. So actually it was a Bug Eye that I went next
to. The yellow
version.
One.
Yes, the yellow version, yeah. Correct. And in 2008, I meet Team Orange. In 2007, I meet Team Orange.
Well, before we even get to Team Orange,
yeah.
What was the first car? So you learned about drifting on YouTube.
Correct.
From watching it on YouTube to actually getting in a car, what was your first car that you spun the wheels on?
It was a Fiat 126. It's the car that is shorter than this table.
No way.
Yes. It's the even cheaper version of the Fiat 500.
Okay? I can't even pronounce that.
You know what the Fiat 500 is? It's the small Fiat.
Okay, yeah, okay? Yeah.
So the 126 is always a very similar 500, but it was, you know, a cheaper version, even more affordable. Okay.
Okay.
And the mom of a good friend of mine had this car, and so I used to just start doing donuts with that.
In your friend's mom's car?
In my friend's mom's car. Then she thought it wasn't a great idea. My friend was cool with it, so I started doing donuts with my mom's car.
Okay.
Which she had a BMW Z3, 1.9 liters, 16 valves.
How old were you back then?
14.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 14, and in Italy, you can get the license only at 18. So it was even more scandal, you know, like sneaking out with a car at 14.
Drifting your friend's mom's car at 14 years old. Yeah. That is pretty impressive.
13. I passed. I upgraded myself with my mom's car.
Wow.
At 14.
Well, yeah. I mean, talk about drifting at an early age. Clearly so.
It was also, you know, and I feel so old saying this right now. It was also a different era because it was like 27 years ago. And I don't know. It was, some things were a little bit more possible.
I was going to say, you feel like you could have gotten away with it more back then.
Absolutely.
Not as strict on the rules.
Absolutely.
Cops might just send you home.
Well, now, like, also back at home, we have cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so as soon as you do even a donut in a, you know, what we could call here a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they They will just come right away.
They got security footage. Yeah. They don't even need to chase you. They check the plates.
It didn't come directly home, right? So back then, I guess it was a little bit more easy.
Right.
Doing some, you know, naughty.
You could get away with it a little more.
Yeah. I never went full naughty, you know. I just did things contended.
So you went from drifting the Fiat into what was your first car that you would say is your first drift car?
Well, my mom's car, I brought her to compete, that Z3. So I drove it from when she bought it. She bought it in 96.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brand new car. It was probably the second BMW Z3 in Milan. One was the owner of the BMW dealership and one was my mom's car. And that time it was very big deal, right? So I still have that car. And I started driving her until I was 18. Then at 19, 20, I really dreamed of becoming a rally driver. So reality is that drifting wasn't there yet. So I was just doing donuts. I was just going sideways because I thought that if you oversteer, that's more close to a drifting, to a rally. I'm sorry. So I was dreaming of becoming a rally driver. So for me, driving a car in oversteer was the way to get more close to a rally. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So you can learn to control it a little better? Or?
Yes. I just loved making the car go sideways on snow, on gravel. That's where I went, you know, with the 126. We used to go on open fields. The car has four gears. If you don't double blip between a gear and the other, they will never go in. But the car floored 35 miles per hour. No, you have to check this car. Now, if you don't know about the Fiat 126, man, from today, I'll change something inside you and you will search for this car.
I will.
I swear, it's so cute. It's so fun. People put in motorbike engines, of course, and they do wheelies. They become wild.
Interesting. All right.
Okay. So, yeah, always the fact of going sideways, basically, was always there from day one. Okay. Then I had my life changing at 21. My mom passes away. And so I really said, okay, now I want to not have fun, but do what I really want. You know, she was very artistic. So I've been grown in a very genuine way for creative things. Do what the most you like, that it will be the best thing you can do, right?
Right.
And so I said, okay, I'm becoming a professional racing driver because you live only once.
Right.
I want to give it a try. So I don't even have anybody in the family that, you know,
races.
I'm the first professional racing driver in my family. Okay. Both my mom and my dad have passion about cars,
right,
but none of them was a professional racer. So I said to myself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I tried rally. Right. I tried rally. I was 22 years old. I went to drive an Evo 6 on gravel. And I did the fourth time in the rally stage on 10 professional rally drivers.
Oh, wow.
First time I jumped on an Evo.
Wow. Okay?
My mom bought me when I was 18 years old a Subaru Impreza GC8 wagon.
Oh, nice.
Because I had dogs.
Yeah.
So that's also, I forgot this little pill. Of course, that Subaru enhanced my rally passion, my you know, desire to become a rally driver. I went to do this test fourth time on 10 professional drivers, all hyped up. The team owner comes to me and says, we need to talk. And I said, I got this. He puts me sitting and he starts like, you really impressed us. We want to, you know, give you a hand. It sounds, you know, sounds like we found somebody that has passion. I treated the car well, but I was fast. You know, a lot of things. They just didn't look at the clock. How I did that stage was important for them. Long story short, they were like basically covering me 60%+ of the expenses of a whole season. When they told me what was missing, I almost fainted.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of, my dreams of becoming a rally driver kind of crushed there, literally. Because it was just too much. I already tasted the fact that I could be at a European gravel championship. Right. I was there, let's say. But because I already tasted that, I needed such a big budget that was impossible for me to drive, to find, having no history, right? So my dreams of becoming a rally driver crushed there. I go back home, 6 months, a little bit. I went a little bit hard on myself, and I couldn't find a way out of it. A friend of mine calls me and says, well, we just used to hang around, and says, you know, come to my house. I found a video on internet. This guy on a go-kart track, Taniguchi-san, with an IS, with the HKS IS, with black, with the pink and green livery.
Right.
He was just drifting.
Right.
And that was 2003 or 2004. I saw that video. I said, what is this guy doing? And my friend, I think they call it drifting. And it doesn't matter who arrives first. It just matters who keeps it sideways. I said, oh my God, they made my sport. Because
right.
I just used to do drifting without knowing it's drifting, because I thought, again, that the rally driver had to drive sideways to call himself a rally driver, but actually I was drifting.
Right.
I mean, I have goose skin like this right now. I can't believe it.
There's actually a word for what I was doing.
I swear to God. So what happens that simultaneously, this friend of mine, 2 weeks after, goes drifting on the snow with the car of his mom, a E36 318 IS. And actually, like, now it's an expensive car if you could kept it, like, all together.
Right.
He backed it in a, I think, like, in a barber shop or something like that. Not really a disaster he did. So his mom, of course, wanted to throw away the car, was really angry when everything settled. Me and him said, like, why don't we get that car? We just chop the back. Because, and there was no bash bars at then. We chopped the back of this car. We fiberglass. We basically made a cap of fiberglass in the back. She was so ugly. I swear to God, she was so ugly. If I can find some photos, I will send them to you.
You have to send us those.
Oh my God. Yeah. She was the ugliest thing you could ever see.
We need these pictures.
It's ugly.
But worked fine mechanically.
Yes, perfect. Because he banged it so hard in the wall, flat.
That it was only the trunk.
Only the trunk.
Yeah.
But everything popped, you know, the window. So we cut it exactly from where the rear window would start and went just down direct where basically the fuel tank is.
Right.
And just went behind it. We didn't know how to weld. We didn't know how to do nothing.
So you guys shared this drift car.
He let me drive it.
Okay.
Okay. We drove it in, you know, say this, it's crazy, but he has a huge garden. Huge, huge garden. Like, you can't imagine. And we used to drive it in his garden, basically. But third, fourth gear.
Mm.
So we learn how to drift on wet grass. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I is rare. It's weird because everybody either learns how to drift on asphalt, on snow, on gravel. I learned how to drift on, like, wet grass. Okay. And then it just started becoming a thing. Drifting started popping here and there with some videos from Japan, you know, and some also videos from US, because 2004, I think, yeah, you already had probably the year you guys had the D1 GP.
That's when versus, Jim brought D1 GP to the US.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So also some videos from there were coming, and I understood it was a thing. So in 2005, they do the first competition in Italy of drifting. It was just a demo.
And you got invited.
I got invited. No, I did not get invited. I self-invited myself.
Oh, okay.
That's reality. No, I was no one.
Was that the event with the yellow Subaru?
Yes, the day after. I will show you the video. I first drove the yellow Subaru 4x4 because we used to go to track days in Monza. Follow me. We used to go to track days in Monza from 2000 to 2005 up to this event, right? And I used to go there with my wagon, with my Subaru wagon, my two pit bulls, my friends. So I was kind of popular in the street you know, circle, okay, of the car enthusiast, because I was the guy that arrived in Monza with his wagon, pits, friends, take down the pits, give them to my friends, take down the spare tire, take out the rear seats, put on my harness, put on my helmet, and I was as fast as a 993 Porsche. I was as fast as a Carrera inside Monza with my
in
car.
In a Subaru.
In a Subaru with just like, well, you guys go in PSI, I'm awful, with 1.6 bar. So, you know, like a little bit double the boost of a OEM car.
Right.
Okay. So that day comes, this drift event comes, and I go to the organizer and I say, can I give it a try with my Z3, right? And actually he's like, where you come out from? The owner, the director, the race director of Monza with, he knew me because he saw me basically from when I was 18 to that day. He was like, I know the kid, like, give him a shot. I mean, he will spin and you just send him out, you know?
Right.
30 minutes, be ready. I couldn't believe it. I ran, I just shoved the tires on at 65 PSI. You know, I was ready to rock. We go in, it's 12, 13 drivers, top eight only passed the day after, okay? Top eight only. I get in the top eight with the Z3 of my mom. Also because it was more like a freestyle thing. So there was like straight, and then it was like three barrels, basically. It was like three barrels in a row, and you had to like just drift around them as good as you could and do a few donuts around them. So it was on the straight of Monza, okay? And it was my jam going around trash bins, bottles with my friends, you know, so that was my jam. So I started just going around these barrels and just brushing them. I heard all the crowd going crazy. So I passed for Sunday, a VIP was driving the yellow Subaru and did qualify for Sunday, but he just had a call. I don't know. He just had to do something more important in his life than drive a drift car on a Sunday, you know, and I don't know what ever happened, but I just know that they asked me if I wanted to drive that car. I didn't make them finish to talk. I was already in the car, strapped in this yellow Subaru, 4x4.
What's a good thing that guy didn't show up?
Bravo. Same, three barrels, still my jam, because with my Subaru, my 4x4 Subaru, I used to do the same things. So same thing, I go in, I yank this handbrake. Dude, I just start rotating around the barrel with four tires, just as more.
Oh, that's crazy. Crowd yeah.
We bring home the win with a 4x4 car.
That's crazy. That's
kind of where everything just spiraled fast.
So how'd you get from there to Team Orange?
I'll tell you. So I get there from, I tell you, it comes like six, after two, 3 months of this event, I have to acknowledge that Team Orange exists because they are the first one that created a rear wheel drive Subaru. Okay. My excitement still, my world crashes, but I said this time I'm not going to give up because the owner of the championship, so the guy that organized that event, let anybody come. 4x4, rear wheel drive, front wheel drive. There was also given it a try. It was 2005, man, in Italy.
Right.
Drifting. People right. Like, if you don't do F1 in Italy and you don't play soccer, you're nobody.
Wow.
So anything apart those two things, right, you know, they don't really matter.
Wow.
Especially 20 years ago. Okay. So it happens that I am all excited and I say, I have the possibility to become a professional driver. And the guy, the owner of this Subaru, was all hyped up until our dreams crashed because the organizer of the championship said, okay, from next year, we do a proper drift championship. Only real wheel drive cars are allowed. I go nuts. A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Team Orange, Kuma Kubo, real wheel drive Subaru. Writing to them, no answer. 2006, they do an event in Athens. I grab the plane and I go to Team Orange. And I just show up. They already knew about me because they saw a few videos of me drifting with Subarus. But I introduced myself. It was a chemistry right away with them, like literally a chemistry. They built the first transfer that makes a Subaru gearbox become rear-wheel drive.
Oh, okay.
Puma Kubo developed that, okay? So they gave me the transfer. I made my Subaru rear-wheel drive. So 2006 and 2007 and 2008, basically competing regularly, there was only me and Kuma with two Subarus in the world. Okay, so that kind of created already a bond. In 2008, this is really cool. In 2008, Team Orange, together with V1GP, creates the first opportunity for a non-Japanese driver to get in V1GP. Because up to then, there was only Japanese drivers that ever attended it, ever qualified skillful-wise. You know, nobody ever cracked the system, okay? So to not just pick a favoritism, they created the World Drift Summit Conference and Competition. They invited all the various champions of all various nations from all around the world. So I think we were like 22 nations, okay, in 2008 in Ebisu with 12 or 13 OEM GDM cars from 200 horsepower to 260, not more, LSD, stock handbrakes, stock steering, and the rest had to be skills. And we went through all kind of trials, okay, to end up doing a competition between us.
Right.
I win the World Drift Summit Conference competition, okay? And I didn't know because they did not tell us until after the competition that they did all this to release a D1GP license.
Oh, okay.
So you got your license at the end of it?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine how you felt.
I
because you're the first non-Japanese to have one.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Yes.
So that you moved to Japan after that?
I started traveling back and forth. So D1GP, first race, Odaiba 2009. Tsuchiya as a judge. It's so emotional to think about it.
That's
and
cool.
Only top 16 qualified on 71 cars. I qualified 16th place.
Oh, wow.
It was pouring rain. I had an amazing tuner. The team is amazing. Team Orange is like just amazing. They set me up the car. They told me they call me Fede-chan. They told me Fede-chan, just drive like dry. I said, but it's pouring rain. Then they look at me. They didn't answer me. Like
car set up.
Don't talk anymore. Just drive like dry. Okay, dude. I went in. I yanked this handbrake. I really listened to them. Like I went in, I flicked the car, I yanked the handbrake. She basically like puts herself almost 90 degrees. I brush all the banners of D1GP, all the banners come up, the wing just above the thing.
Yeah.
That was how I just stepped in D1GP.
We gotta find the video.
There is. And I just keep it like, because I probably catch some rubber. So I was almost like going in the barriers, but I keep it. Big deal. Like big deal. So the new Gaijin is in town.
Yeah.
You know? So
I like that.
That's crazy.
I'm not just the Gaijin, I'm the Gaijin.
The Gaijin.
Yeah. So and nobody can take that away from me.
So of that 16 car field, you were the only non-Japanese.
For 2 years.
Wow.
I was the only non-Japanese in the paddock.
Period.
Between everyone.
Period.
Drivers, mechanics, team owners,
wow.
Organizers, you know.
Did
yeah.
you understand them?
No. The first 2 years, it was very rough. I've always went to, first I did from.
Well, first. You guys share that international language of driving, so
exactly.
That's really.
So that was good, but I had the Team Orange manager, Hiroki Furuze-san, which is a big character in the motorsport world, and I will tell you who is in a second. He talks perfect English.
Oh, okay.
So he was also not like, if I tell he was my translator, he's gonna beat me up like as soon as we finish this. He was not my translator. He
yeah.
translated
he
for
translated
me anything
for
that
you.
I needed, you know, that I really didn't understand. He's He's a Nismo Global Motorsport Manager.
Wow.
He's the guy that invented, that they did the movie also.
No way.
The PlayStation real life situation.
Oh, is that him like that they referenced in the movie?
Yes.
Whoa, yes, that's
he's
cool.
Team Orange Manager from 2005.
So he went from being their manager to that position.
Yes. Us drivers of Team Orange, I also do this training today. I do the same training of a Nismo professional athlete, like juggling. I juggle, like I see people now understand they have to juggle. Like it's a common thing. It's like a math thing. We used to juggle in 2007. I do a training for peripheral vision, like from 15 years almost.
You're training people how to do that?
Also, yes. I train myself a lot. You know, I'm not a kid anymore and I have to just keep up.
Well, so that's a good question. What are some skills you can learn or hone to train to become a better driver that's not actually driving or being behind the wheel?
So first of all, it's coordination. Like coordination is the secret. It's literally the secret, especially we're drifting. So we're like walking on a rope. So coordination and balance.
Is that being taught in the gym?
That's also at home.
How?
With exercises that I can provide you and exercises that you can do either alone or maximum, you just need one more person.
What would be one that you could walk through, like that you could tell us that would be a example?
So first of all, juggling.
No.
Juggling is very, very basic, but very, very important. It's like the ABC, all F1 drivers know how to juggle better than a professional juggling guy. I bet you that. And juggling, you know, it just regulates your timing. It just regulates, you know, your view. You don't watch the balls. So it just trains also your peripheral view. You just see a shadow coming. You catch it. You send it. So that's a big deal. And then there is also exercises that force your body, your brain to be tricked. Okay? So you tell your body that you have to catch something with your hand and simultaneously move another part of your body simultaneously, that is so unnatural to do. Okay.
What would be an example? So if I'm catching a ball in this hand, what would you make me do in this hand?
Well, simultaneously, your left leg up.
Oh, yeah, you know what
you do? You know what would you do the first 10 catches? You would pull the same side things that you do.
Right.
And you would get so pissed off because you know, you're telling your body, pull up the left one, and you pull up the right one. You're like, oh. How? It's shocking. Well, that is to train the right part of your brain to command the left side of your body and vice versa.
Mm.
It's a lot.
There's so maybe, maybe drummers would be really good drivers.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Very good.
Because I watched that, I'm like,
caught the point.
How do you, it doesn't make sense to
you
me.
You perfectly caught the point.
Right.
That's exactly what we train for.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Brian's gonna walk into our office one day and
with juggling.
Someone else is gonna walk in. Yeah. Me and Brian are gonna be like, left foot up.
Juggling. Yeah, left foot up. I want to check your skills. I want to check who you are. Yeah.
We're training.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you said, people think you just came around in this Ferrari out of nowhere. Clearly not.
This new generation that actually doesn't even know much about D1 GP, right? So, of course, there are legends. Okay, and I'm not a Japanese legend, of course. I'm not Japanese, you know, and I'm not one of the pioneers that started D1 GP. No, you know, I came on board D1 GP that it was actually already the hot D1 GP that everybody knows about. At the same time, I blame myself a little bit, and I'm getting better in that. I always thought that it was more important live interactions than laying all my life on socials. So is there a lot of footage of me, my races, photos? Yes. My YouTube channel is on from 2008, right? Same as my Facebook. But at the same time, I've never been, you know, so strong and just posting so much. So I give a little bit of myself to blame for this new generation that doesn't know me much before I landed in America, where it just exposes you and puts you under a, you know, a
magnifying glass.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
It hurt me a bit. I mean, the industry, Of course they know about me.
Right.
I have actually people that are in FB and I know them from 15 years
right.
before I came to FD. But it does of course hurt me that the new generation thinks, you know, I just popped up, you know, with a Ferrari in pro class, you know. Of course I could not do that. My history brought me, you know, to be able to come in pro class and pass the petition,
right.
you know, and so on. So
it goes hand in hand. I mean, like you just said, the new generation, it goes in hand with music, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of crazy. It blew my mind. Do you know who Wu-Tang is?
Yes, of course. So, I love it. It's also my kind of music.
We're from the same generation.
Yeah.
I asked my cousins, nephews, nieces
who... Oh, don't hurt me now. Okay, go.
They're like, who? Woo what?
Woo what? Yeah. And you're like...
And it's very relevant
and
today.
You do an overdose, you just like, hear this now for 2 hours. And I'll call you back after.
And they don't like it. Because it's a very different style of music.
It's a different
right.
rhythm. Also the topics.
Correct.
Topics don't match
cringe.
Now.
Yeah, they cringe at that. So, and it's very... obscure because I'm very into sneakers, and actually it's yeah. funny if you guys can't see it on camera, but Federico is wearing a pair of Jordan 1s in the Wu-Tang colorway.
Yes,
but Nike just released the Wu-Tang Dunks.
No way.
Which is why I ask kids I know, like, did you get the Dunks? And like, what Dunks? Like, the Wu-Tang? Like, you don't care? It's, like, those are one of my holy grails. Yes. Like, that was on my to-do list prior to them coming out before this. Those are $20,000 sneakers. They're like, I don't care if they're Wu-Tang, but maybe if right. they were Lil Durk or yeah, somebody Lil, out, yeah. then they'd be like, oh man, they would have sold out like this, right?
Yes, yes,
but it's what you say, like, you are the Gaijin,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
But it's education, it's exposing yourself. I like how you say, I didn't do it then, but you're conscious of it now, and that's what yeah. matters, because you
yeah.
either become conscious and act on it, or totally. You become conscious and you become the old school guy that goes, kicks himself in the corner, still yep. doesn't like the iPhone, and is
correct.
Reminiscent on the old times.
Correct.
That's cool in the corner, but
yeah, no, it
you're going
to
stay there.
Yeah, which right? I've never been there. I'm just an old school guy.
Yeah.
Proud of it.
Correct.
Keeping the best of the old school, but adapting.
Correct, yeah.
But
and that's what it takes.
Otherwise, I'm going to stink myself.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still got this. I feel I still have a lot of... a lot of performance and excitement to share with the fans. I got this. Like,
yeah.
I don't even feel a little slow. Fiorella is not an easy platform. At the same time, now she's really performing. And sometimes we just have bad luck, a rough call, a crash, like everyone is having, you know?
We have this topic of conversation with other racers that racing is only 10% of being a professional driver.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to be a personality. You have to embrace social media.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, you spend, you know, 75% of your time working on being a personality mm-hmm. and the remaining time excelling at being your skilled driver. Because yeah. the way that the world works today is you don't have to be the best driver to be, have the biggest career.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. I come from a generation where you're first or you're last.
Right. Not very today.
Not today, no. Today you can also survive. Of course you have to perform.
Correct.
But I see...
You got to be good, but you don't have to be the best.
I see that you can survive if you're, you know, if you can accept, which none of us accept if you're low in the ranking. Not even the ones that can just survive. Not even the ones that are more good in socials than on actual skills. Everybody wants to win. I do believe that everybody that goes to a race, and it's not like that, maybe they're in the wrong place, but everybody that goes at a professional race, I do believe they want to win. Then if you don't win, then you start, you know, looking like, well, how did it go? Well, what did I bring to the table? Are the fans happy? Yes. Are my sponsors happy? Yes. How's my team doing? Good. Can I recover from this? Yes. What can I take out? Yes. You start doing all that from P2 on. P1, it's P1.
Right.
So everybody wants P1. But I do believe that today, the good part of socials is that it gives the opportunity to raise your skills. In the meantime, you bring all your social media skills to the table.
Exactly.
You know, so.
So this is, Nick as a professional content creator knows all about this, turning losses into wins. Of course, the racer, the driver wants to win. That's why you are who you are. But here's the second half, if not 75% of the race day. Well, if we didn't win first place, and even if we win first place, how do we walk away after the event winning in terms of content and winning in terms of increasing your exposure, gaining more fans, and taking whatever happened that weekend, even if it was a loss, and turning it into a win on content?
It's a story at the end of the day. You know, whether you win or lose, you can...
It's a chapter of the story.
Right. You can film it. You can make content out of it. You can monetize off of it. You know, so even if you're not getting paid from the race, like, okay, well, maybe you'll... Maybe you're at that stage where it's still funding your program.
Of course.
You know.
Of course.
And, you know, like you said, checking all those other things off. Like, okay, team's happy. Car didn't break. You know, we walked away with other wins, even if we didn't walk away with the trophy.
Sponsors sponsor you, yes, to be a winning driver, but they also sponsor you to represent their company in the best way.
Correct.
So at least if you don't get the P1, be sure to represent them in the best way, you know, as much as you can. This is, you know, also something I can share with the new generation, right?
I like it. So I asked you before, we got to get it on camera. What is the best car for drift?
You mean, what is the best car to start with, or what is the drift car?
So let's do two questions. What is the best car to start drifting with?
So if you want to be hard on yourself, I would start with an MX-5. She's mean, angry. She fights you back, and you have to use speed and momentum. And
that's the Mazda MX-5. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I drive.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
The MX-5, I think it's a car that is very challenging, very nervous because it has short wheelbase, and it just teaches you not to rely on a long wheelbase car, you know, that just rotates and it tells you, we're going to go on the other side now. And you're like, I'm ready. And then she says, we got this. No, the Mazda's like, damn, bang, bang. You know, so that's a good training. Nowadays, maybe I would go just to start learning how to do donuts with a car that maybe is less fighting you back than a Mazda, maybe a 350Z. Okay, that could be something. Not a big fan, okay, but at the same time, I'm a fan of a person that never did a donut, wants to give it a try. 350 is a pretty honest chassis, you know, it's pretty honest. Of course.
Then why are you not a fan of the 350Z?
I'm not a fan of cars that are too easy to drive.
Okay.
but I'm a big fan of the most, not only easiest car to drive, most competitive drift car to drive, the S15 with a 2J dot.
Is the drift car.
The drift car.
Have you driven one? Like, have it's been in your stable?
I have one.
Oh, not you still have one?
With an SR. That was a lot. Not with a 2J, but with an SR. I jump with it. I jump like 2 feet, four wheels, land sideways. While I land, I do the switch of direction. She's just like a, I don't know, like a tailor-made jacket for any drifter. I mean, the S15, you tell her, backy. Okay, dad, backy.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's so predictable.
Very responsive.
Must so responsive, so precise, so predictable, so true. And I don't know. It's still a very nice car to drive. So, yeah, what I would be driving if I... Wouldn't always want to be out of the box. Wouldn't always want to, you know, to just shake emotions in people with the cars I drive. I would be on an S15.
You've been around the world, drifted many places. What is the best place in the world to drift?
Ibiza, Togge, alone at 6:30 in the morning with the fog. With my flutes, like, only that you can hear of my S. I have an S14.
Daytime, nighttime,
morning,
right in the morning.
Dawn.
6:30
in the morning. Sunrise.
You done that?
Of course. We are in the sunrise country. So Levante, you know that their flag is the sun rising.
Right.
So it's
by nature.
By nature, sunrise. Japan is everything in the sunrise, especially the Togge I used to train. I did like 3-4 years in a row, that for even 2 months every day, four or five laps, like car warm. One lap I warm up,
four laps have to be perfect, car away every morning. Not lap on lap on lap. That's not drifting. Like, it's fun. Lap on lap, just lap and lap.
Right. You
know, send it, yes. But it's not quality drifting.
So that's your favorite place to drift. What about favorite track? What would be your favorite track that you've
favorite
ever drifted?
Favorite tracks. I've been around a lot that I have a few.
Number one.
Ebisu Minami. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it's not fair, but it's seven there. I mean, it's like seven tracks. Ebisu Minami, guys, when you arrive to the jump, that you have to clutch kick it exactly on time. Like, you hear the car jumping, and it's while she's jumping, you are woo. I mean, there's nothing like it. You just jump, she rotates in air, you land, she does double compression. It used to be like a little, I don't know,
little
yeah, a little bumpy. So you land, she does two compressions. If she does three, you have a problem. You're ending down. If you have one, you have another type of problem, because she does one, wall. If you do three, is one, two, three, tires. So she must do one, two, increase angle. So you slow down with angle. And if you use the handbrake, they deduct points because they say you're a, you know, bitch.
Huh?
Yeah. Like, because they say it's easy to slow down with the handbrake. So all the big boys, we have to, right after you brush the wall, you have to increase angle and kind of slow down with angle going towards the judges. So that's one of my favorite tracks. Here, just, you know, I'm now doing FD from a few years. Road Atlanta, I feel home. Like, I mean, when you start going down the hill and you start pulling gears, boom, 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 it's nice. Then you go down, you go up, you go back down, and then, I mean, it's Road Atlanta is something.
Is that why you moved to Atlanta?
Maybe. Yeah,
so that way you can maybe, be closer to it.
Maybe.
I feel like I hear that from a lot of drivers.
Yeah.
Time Attack drivers too. They love Road Atlanta.
Well, we're wild and free. And once again, I started really loving riding these walls. Like, literally, also from when I did Fiorella Turbo, Orlando, we're brushing the wall. We're brushing kind of every wall. Then when I go in too much gripped up, yeah, she just drags me down and pisses me off, right? But I like dragging walls now. I learned how to do the setup, asymmetric setups. It's pretty wild. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I'm sure everybody knows, and who doesn't know now knows we make asymmetric setups to stay on the banking, you know, because the cars just don't crawl up and just stay on the banking by themselves or only with our skills. Yes, they do stay up only with our skills, but if you have a better setup car, she will just stay in the pocket, right? So, yeah, Road Atlanta is beautiful because we're loose. So I was saying that I like walls, but I think all the drivers kind of like Road Atlanta because you can dip, you know, a little bit more of car outside. You can kind of try a little bit of more spicy driving without risking that you smash it on the wall. Only apart the section when we come back, we cross each other. You know, we cross each other twice in the smoke, right? Mm-hmm. Because we cross each other coming out of the keyhole, and then we cross each other again in the last right corner. If you get caught in the smoke and you hesitate and you kind of understeer or do something like that, the wall on the other side is waiting for you. And then as soon as you basically before the wall, you touch the grass. On the grass, you basically get another 5-10 miles per hour right away. So
here's a good question for you. How do you navigate through smoke like that? Because I've seen a number of times that it's just like, how do you even know, like, who's so close to you?
I want to be honest with you. There's no secret. You just don't see. You just have to use muscle memory, trust the car in front of you. If you don't trust it, two options. If you don't trust it, maybe you did good because you come out of it. He did a bad switch of direction and you're still there with him because you didn't trust him completely and you didn't jump on him. But if the guy does a nice switch of direction, you're gapped. So that's every time.
And
I think a lot of drivers are like,
points for that, right?
Am I gonna jump on him? He's gonna do it good. I hope so. Boom, you get out of the smoke, and literally it's always the same scene. Is there this pitch white smoke? Whoa, the car, his sponsors this, I'm here, let's go. You know, it's cool. Everything happens in a split of a second.
Sounds like a crazy adrenaline rush.
We don't see when we are in some tracks. some tracks, even if we are behind, close, or we get a little bit in a bad position, you still can see somehow through. There are tracks that it's a disaster. It's like a disaster.
One thing you would want to change about drifting.
We're going to be going to the moon next with these cars.
In terms of horsepower.
Let's see, in terms of horsepower, grip, everything, you know. So one thing I would do is just now maybe go with a smaller tire size, not too much small. The cars become more smooth. They become less nervous. Probably they're going to be better to watch. You know, there's going to be more, not buttery that it looks like, you know, we're not actually doing something difficult or scary, but it's going to be a better drift. You know, right now it's a drag race sideways. It's a drag race sideways. And people get angry if the guy in front is a little bit looser, but has a very nice line. Oh, they get all hyped up because they choked behind them. Get your car a little looser. At the end of the weekend, we have literally time attack cars going sideways. So I think we should kind of contend ourselves. Also because we saw a few accidents, myself also, just because of the grip, you know, and another car gripped up that like suddenly comes to an halt, or a car that is waiting. So I'm not the only one that experienced that, but also we saw some other accidents, you know, without going into specific, that are all also happening because the cars are just starting to be a little bit too fast. I like speed. I love it. It's just, I feel we're kind of on edge. That's about it. But for the rest, I would change nothing. I hope that drifting lasts for another 1,000 years.
I got questions about the Ferrari.
Go for it.
Have you gotten any hate from Ferrari building your car?
No. If you see, we are in Forza Horizon. And how did we get in Forza Horizon? And how can you win Fiorella in the Ferrari dealership in Forza Horizon? Because they got approved from Ferrari, Microsoft, and FD. They got approved from Ferrari and officially recognized Fiorella. So are we sponsored by Ferrari? No. Are we accepted? Yes. Yes, I can say it out loud.
What made you choose the Ferrari as your drift car?
I didn't choose Fiorella. Fiorella chose me. I swear to God, she was already there. They just chose me to be who I am, who people think I am from 2018, a group of professional and investors chose me to take care of this project. She was already there. It was a challenge I could not take.
Oh, so the car existed, and then they were like, no,
they
Federico
created a program around it.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yes, the car existed. They wanted to make the first drift supercar, and then they just created the program around it.
So you've been working with this group for 8 years now.
From 2017, 16. Yeah, the group starts as a GT3 team, very successful. They won everything. Like anything that regards GT, they won it. And then we came to US in 2018 with Fiorella, which in our way has been anyway, big success.
I got one more I need to ask.
I've got like six more, but go.
To be a professional drifter, you must what? Finish that sentence.
You must believe in it from A to Z, respect the environment, respect the sport, and just put your head down and work hard, because today competition is very high. Today there is a lot that want to become a drifter, are skilled. So the game has stepped up. Work hard. Be genuine, and yeah, don't suck.
I like that. Don't suck.
Yeah, just don't suck.
Don't suck in life and everything that you do, and you're going to be a whole lot better.
For real.
Yeah, yeah.
For real. I mean,
husband, son, whatever it may be. Just don't suck.
Yeah, just
be a good person.
Yeah. Go for it.
Best head-to-head battle in Formula Drift. Against who and what track? If you had to pick one. Nail biting, it was close. Maybe it didn't turn out how you wanted it to.
I think I had To be honest, battles, no, I had good battles. I might have had some some amazing practice runs that I really remember. Battles. You made me a good question. I mean, the ones I won, you know, I think they are the best ones, but there's so many other battles that I learned a lot from. I think one of the most exciting ones, usually, to be honest, is with Vaughn. Like, Vaughn comes beside you and you feel the heat. No, you feel the heat. Plus, we're friends. So he looks at me, he gives me a thumbs up. You know, he puts me in a good mood. But probably, yeah, I think Vaughn and Chelsea, which we're very good friends now. Chelsea, I think, has been the most wild battle that you all kind of know, you know, what happened in the first time I came here. You know, hit him, break my arm, catch on fire, a disaster. You know, so that was a battle that. It made a disaster after, but it created an amazing friendship and an amazing respect for each other. So yeah, the RTR are rowdy. Yeah, are rowdy to get chased from and to chase.
I've seen.
So yeah, probably those are the most exciting.
Going off that question leads to my final question, which is worst wipeout drifting.
Worst wipeout? What do you mean?
Accident or crash, well, or
probably,
you know,
probably the one that unfortunately a lot of people, you know, sometimes bring up, you know, oh, is this still the car from the fire? Yeah, man, it's still the car from the fire. I'm not excited to talk about it, but I cannot deny it happened, you know.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
No, I'm cool. I mean, it's just something that really trialed me to the core, trialed my team to the core, my career. And that was probably one of the most difficult moments, but at the same time, it made me stronger. It motivated even more. It gave me the chance to show all of you how determined I am. So, you know, once again, we have to take out the good also from trials, challenges. Otherwise, what did we learn?
Yeah.
How do you grow, right?
But for real.
Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar with the situation. So if it's not too much to ask, could you just give me like a brief?
I love it. I love this man. I love this man because thanks God, the first guy that doesn't look at me, you know, and said, I think he's the guy from the fire in Long Beach. No, it does happen more and more rarely, thanks God. Well, I arrived to Long Beach, talk of the town. I arrived to US 2018, talk of the town. I break the internet. I go to race service. They invite me there. I meet Chris, amazing person, still friends now. I meet Ryan Twerk. They post a couple of photos of Fiorello that just arrived in US. It literally broke the internet. I start getting tens of thousands of followers per day. As I told you, I was not a big social network guy, so I arrived in US with like 11,000 followers on Instagram. After 10 days, I had 55,000. I was like, where am I? Okay, so big deal. I arrived to Long Beach, big deal. You know, the first supercar, drift car, big deal. Is he going to qualify? Yes, I do qualify. I brushed my walls, big deal. You know, even the car wasn't performing amazing, but, you know, I had my shit together, right?
Right.
I faced Chelsea, first battle, okay? I had a different style of driving as soon as I came here. So I used to go in as fast as I could and then use just momentum to stay sideways, basically. Here, yes, we get in as fast as we can, but then we like blast the throttle and just play with the left foot brake. In Japan, we almost never left foot brake in D1 GP, right? So I came from a kind of different driving style. Chelsea initiates like mega angle, then adapts himself like another time with the handbrake. I just like dumped the clutch and went on him. So I hit him. I sent him in the barrier. Disaster. I felt very bad, you know, because that was the last thing I wanted to do. I just wanted to stay in his door and impress everyone, right? I send him in the barriers and I do my lap still. But I hit him pretty hard. I wasn't expecting that one of my arms was cracked. Yeah, adrenaline, excitement. I should have called at 5 minutes, went to check Fiorella. I didn't. I went back to the starting line. Chelsea comes back to the starting line with like half a car missing. He gives me a thumbs up. I'm like, sorry, man. At that point, I'm leading. I lead. I get out of the gate. I do one, two, three, four. When I put fourth gear, I hear my arm snap. The car collapse on itself. I start going towards the wall and I start like hitting the wall. Not too bad, but a little bit like that, a little bit like that. Somehow, all the chaos that was happening against the wall, I get a broken fitting from a fuel line. I started throwing fuel in Long Beach, all crushed against the New Jersey at 3.5 bar. I was like a fire hose, but with ethanol going. It wasn't great. I tried to get out on the left side of the car. I was stuck. Panic with flames coming, you know. So it was a split of a second.
You were pinned between the wall?
Yeah, I was pinned between the wall. Anyway, I managed to get out anyway from that side. I kind of hurt my elbow really bad. Like I had my elbow cracked, not broken, like for a year and a half. So I took that thing with me for a bit. Get out of the car. The car was like flaming. And the fireman wanted to keep me back, right? I don't like, whoa, I have to go in and switch her off, you know, because from the panic, I didn't switch her off. So I ran back to the car, switch her off. Well, I mean, the scene was seen everywhere because we arrived to, yes, we had all the eyes on us. We start, we have all the eyes on us. We are the last ones that we're supposed to catch on fire, and we catch on fire. So that was a kind of a big deal, but we showed our character. Because after 15 days, we were in Orlando with a car that was rough, but she was put back together, rebuilt, a car that took us a year.
In 2 weeks. In two weeks, you rebuilt it and brought it to Orlando.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, which I took a year and a half to build it. So I had only 2 weeks to not rebuild the whole car, but in 2 weeks, I took it to Orlando. The RTR is a different world. They got on fire with Dean, very, very kind of similar brutal fire, but like they had 15, 20 people working 3 days in a row and got him back because it happened at media day, right? We were just me and Simona and race R3 Motorsports, which is San Francisco Ferrari racing department. We were literally three people. And we rebuilt the whole car. Yeah, I showed up in Orlando. People were looking at me like I was a ghost.
But
yeah, that's part of my story. That's part of who I am.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Guys, thank you for having me here. I would go on.
We could go on for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's always opportunity for part two is here.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, we appreciate your time.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this podcast, like, comment, and subscribe. Eat, Sleep, Race Podcast, Federico, if they want to follow you on your social media.
Yes, it's Federico Sceriffo 17. And also the YouTube is Federico Sceriffo. I'll get more content out there. Promise.
Till the next episode. Appreciate you guys.